Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. Well, it's the beginning of a new month. It's May. And with this, we're going to begin a whole new theme. I just really needed to put John Gray's program on last week as an encore because I've been thinking about him a lot and knowing that he is now passed from this world. And I just wanted you as listeners to be able to revisit John's words. And he was an amazing person. And I'm sure that if you Google him on the web, you'll find out all the wonderful things that he has done and the years and years that he spent in teaching Reiki. He left behind an amazing legacy, which I hope that we can support. This time, however, I'm going to start this new group of interviews. And what I've asked all the interviewees is to think about what Reiki has taught them. There's a wonderful story, and Paul is not alone in hearing this from my grandmother. There's a wonderful story from Paul Mitchell that goes a little bit like this. My grandmother, at the end of her life, was very spontaneous and often very surprisingly, seemingly nonchalant about her teaching, but she wasn't really. It's hard to describe how much energy she held and how much you received as a student without her even speaking. I know that I did, and all of us who were masters of hers or who took first or second degree would, I think, agree with me that it was as much what she did not say as what she did say. So Paul was initiated, very surprisingly, the day or two after he had asked Hawaii Otakata to consider him as a master candidate. And this other man, George Araki, that he was asking with, the two of them asked Hawaii Otakata for their master initiation at the same time. They were the two that had schedules, so they got together and for a few minutes pored over their schedules to try to figure out when the next meeting would be. And finally, their conclusion was tomorrow. So the next day, Hawaii Otakata, George Araki, and Paul Mitchell got together and they were initiated as masters. And she spent the day with them. And then at the end of that day, she was walking down the hallway and Paul said, "But what do I teach?" And my grandmother turned to him and said, "Reiki will teach you." And he really had no reply to that. And in the next years, because he never saw her again, Reiki did teach him. And he actually already had it inside of him. He just didn't know. So one of the things that comes to my mind in these moments of, oh my gosh, what do I do now? I hear my grandmother say, "Let Reiki teach you." And when I hear that, I just have to open myself up and surrender and trust that what will come out of my mouth or what action I take will actually be congruent with my own integrity and with the precepts of Reiki. And sometimes, most of the time, I have to say that that actually works out. And other times, excuse me, it doesn't. And sometimes the reason it doesn't is because a little bit of myself has leaked in, like control or expectation or just being afraid. So in the next few weeks, we're going to hear stories from people who I'm asked if they would share their stories of how Reiki taught them. So the first interviewee that we have for this series is a Reiki master, and her name is Leslie Grasha. And Leslie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Phyllis. Thank you.
Yeah, and are you from Portland?
Salem.
Salem.
Yes.
Okay. So that's about 60 miles south of Portland, mm-hmm. Oregon?
Yes.
Okay, great. And Leslie actually was one of the instigators of this particular theme for me because she's the president of the board, I believe, of the Northwest Reiki Gathering. I don't know if that's really the right organization. But anyway, they organize something called the Brighton Bush Gathering, which happens the second weekend in August in every year. And this year, their theme is Let Reiki Teach You. So I was thinking about this theme and thinking it would be great preparation for me if I were willing to introduce this as a topic on the radio show. So that's how we all came to be. So Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be here.
Great. And maybe you could, in the very beginning, correct all my information about Brighton Bush.
That was it, actually. It's the Northwest Reiki Gathering at Brighton Bush. This is the 27th year of this annual gathering. And it's Reiki teaches us the theme every year as we sit in Reiki as a board. And this is what emerged this year was the story you shared about Paul and Let Reiki Teach You. And so we're so honored that you're coming as our facilitator this year and really looking forward to our time together in August.
Yes, me too. Well, one of the things that is so amazing for me is when I tell the story of Reiki, which is the story of how the people, the masters of the spiritual lineage came to Reiki. The stories teach me all the time. And so I'd like for you to share your story of how you came to Reiki. And maybe this will start our theme.
Great. Sure. Thank you. It's so funny. I actually, Reiki came to me about 6 years before I knew it. I was born with a form of muscular dystrophy and through my whole childhood had extensive surgery, and it was not a life-threatening challenge, but it was definitely very physically debilitating and my feet were reconstructed. And the surgery did a lot of good, but by the time I hit my 20s, I was in a lot of pain and needed braces and orthotics, and they were always trying to tweak some shoe device to help me walk and alleviate my pain. And I had been seeing a counselor after my mother passed away, and I'd been seeing her for maybe a year or so. And one day she comes in and said, "I just took this weekend course. It's called Reiki. And do you mind if I hold your feet while we talk?" And honestly, I didn't know anything about Reiki or energy work. And it just, I didn't remember that she'd said it was Reiki that she was doing. But for the next year and a half, I saw her maybe once a week, you know, twice a month, and she would hold my feet for an hour. And I had just this amazing healing in that time. I mean, just my whole life shifted, and the, you know, the pain in my feet just diminished considerably. And I honestly never at that time made the connection. I never connected the dots between, I just knew that I really, it was kind of nice, you know. I didn't even, couldn't even say honestly that I felt Reiki the way I do today when she held my feet. I just knew I liked it and that it was very comforting. So I was receiving Reiki for close to 2 years without really knowing that I was receiving Reiki. And then about 5 years later was again, had moved to, I was living in Florida at the time, had moved to Oregon. And again, the pain had returned in my feet. So I was back in just really bad pain and arthritis and looking for any solution that I could find to for this. And someone who I'd been receiving massage from recommended Reiki. And again, still didn't, it wasn't, it was maybe a year or so later that I actually realized that that's what this counselor had done. but it, I tried a Reiki treatment. You know, my first Reiki treatment, I was pain-free for the first time. I mean, truly pain-free, for the first time that I could remember. Wow. And I did, 4 days. I remember calling in sick to work that week. I didn't know quite what had happened, but I knew something had happened. Called in sick to work, did 4 days in a row. By the end of the fourth day, my pain was completely gone and has never returned to that extent. And I didn't know what had happened and just knew something had happened. And so then she tells me, well, you can learn to do this yourself. And honestly, I didn't think I could, you know, it just didn't seem possible. Yet it was $60 a session to go see her. And, you know, I wanted to go every day. And so I thought, well, I'll take this class because that, I mean, it was financial, you know, the decision, but I still wasn't trusting that I could actually do this. But I took the first degree class and I could, I had the same feeling when I put my hands on myself. And shortly after my first degree class, my father was diagnosed with a terminal illness, and while he was in the hospital, he'd had abdominal surgery, and he got hiccups for 8 hours straight, and they just would not, and it was just agonizing because of all the sutures and the incisions, and they couldn't, and I had asked him prior to that, would you like Reiki, and he kept saying, no, I don't know what that is. But then after hiccuping for 8 hours and just being in so much pain, I said, Dad, would you like me to try Reiki? And I had just learned, but I said, okay, you know, my Reiki master says I can do this. I'm just like, just put my hands there. I think I'll try it. I put my hands on his diaphragm and the hiccups were gone within 30 seconds. And he got tears in his eyes. And from that moment on, it was Reiki. You know, it was every... He had a lung disease and had challenges talking. That was one of the words he would say. But I actually, shortly after that, asked my Reiki master if I could take second degree, which was a very relatively quick period of time. I'd been practicing on myself every single day and having just continual bones in my feet moving. I was regenerating nerves. I mean, just amazing healings in my own body. And my father lived in Tennessee and I was in Oregon. And so I wanted desperately to learn second degree so I could treat him. And they had given him 6 months to live. He lived, or actually 2 months to live. He lived another 2 years. And I treated him daily. And it just became this absolutely beautiful time for us. We had always been close. But to get to spend his last time, and especially when he couldn't speak very easily, it took so much air to breathe and was so taxing on his lungs, that to just be able to spend that time in Reiki with him was such a gift and so incredibly powerful. And we both had these beautiful experiences. He would always be aware of me sending. And I had a teddy bear that I would use to send to him, and he would call me on the phone and say, Reiki the bear's left foot, you know, Reiki the bear's, and he'd call back, my foot feels better. Okay. Reiki the bear's eyes, you know, he'd always give me these directions on where to send and where to spend a little extra time. And, I was with him at the very end of his life. And actually shortly before, he passed, there was one day we were just sitting watching TV and he was very mentally very clear till the very end. We were watching TV, just watching a Western, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, he turned and looked at me and said, no one understands what we know. And I just knew that he was referring to that time in Reiki, that there was no time and space, that whether I was with him in the room or whether I was 3,000 miles away on a different coast, we were together. And it just was, and then he went back to watch, he says this and then goes back to watching his TV show. And I was just sort of stunned, you know, I said, yeah, Dad, we know. and it was just this, and I was with him at the very end of his life. And it was so amazing that I felt I was in the doorway with him, kind of holding this side of the door as he passed through, you know, just sort of standing. And it was such to his actual passing, I just had such peace and joy. And the grief came in later, yet I've always remembered the peace and joy. So to have that that understanding and that awareness and that connection to him, it's just such a gift, a blessing I can't even describe. And in that process, I realized that I was called to be a Reiki master, which I wasn't sure about at the beginning, and it was definitely felt clear that that was part of my path. And so after maybe a year and a half after he passed, I was initiated as a master, and it's just been amazing that literally my body is completely different. My hips have, I was sending Reiki to more stability, and after doing that for a few months, all of a sudden, and I didn't even know what that looked like. Honestly, I thought maybe I would get like a good pair of shoes that were more stable, and my hips, literally my femurs rotated in my hip joint, and my muscles wrapped around my hips in a different way to give me more stability. And suddenly, after 20 years of physical therapy and not being able to stand on one foot, I can balance on one foot. You know, it's every day Reiki has, I say I run on Reiki. It's changed my body, my life, my spirit. It's just, it's been such a gift in my life and for my whole family.
Wow. What a story. Well, I have three kind of themes that I got from your story. Mm. And it's great because, of course, they echo my own. Well, and the first one is that what Reiki teaches me is that the unbelievable is believable.
Yes, yes.
So this one is always amazing. Like, when my grandmother first talked to me about Reiki, and which wasn't actually to me, but in hearing her lectures about Reiki, she would say, "And Reiki is universal life energy." And I'm just going, "Well, okay." And now what is that it's not that I believe it, it's that I can feel it, I can touch it, I can sense it in the room. It somehow has substance to me. And I'm just wondering if that's true for you.
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny because I just trusted Reiki from day one. Even if I didn't trust myself, my Reiki master said that Reiki worked, and I said, okay. And I knew I felt it in my body, and I knew I saw the physical shifts that I couldn't have imagined in my body. I didn't know were possible, that, you know, medical science was telling me weren't possible. I remember one time in the hospital, doing Reiki on my dad, and I was over his heart, and he had some kind of monitor that had an electric device in his pocket. And all of a sudden the nurse comes flying in, and the reader was in his pocket, and it was sending a signal to a something in the ceiling that was beaming his vitals out to the nurse's desk. And she comes flying in and says, "Oh, it looked like, you know, he was in cardiac arrest or something. I guess the machines were," and he said, "I think it's the Reiki." I said, I think you're right. So she comes back and gets another battery and replaces the battery in the device, and it's still going. And she replaced the battery twice, and I just had my hands, because by this point he and I were curious to see what would happen. So I was keeping my hands over his heart, and we're just snickering to ourselves, you know, and she keeps coming back to check after she's replaced the batteries, and it's still reading. As soon as I took my hands off that area, she comes back in and says, "Well, it just went back to normal. I don't know what happened." So to just know this is, everything is connected, you know, our bodies, our electronic devices, it's all energy, it's all Reiki, and it's all, it's, absolutely, I am in awe of that Reiki can respond in ways that we can't even imagine.
Right.
It's so beautiful.
Exactly. Well, you know, one of the things that has come to me over the last years is that when I used to say, "Oh, it's just your imagination," you know, it was something that meant, well, it's unbelievable, like it's not possible. And what I've realized in my Reiki practice is that everything that I imagine actually has already happened.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't be able to imagine it if it weren't in my consciousness. So Reiki gives me the possibility to open the door to the unimaginable and know that that mystery out there is just waiting for us.
Yes.
As individuals and as a society and as a, you know, as a planetary entity, that we have unknown possibilities that we cannot imagine because our minds just can't hold it.
Mm-hmm. I wrote a one-woman play recently, and I had wanted to write this play for about 12 years and had talked about it and talked about it and couldn't seem to get the momentum to create this play. And one day I had that thought, like, as you said, okay, this play, it's already been created. If I've thought it, I've seen it in my head.
Right.
And I decided to sit in Reiki for 21 days and just send to, and at that point I was open to letting it go. I said, I either want to move forward with this play or let go of, because it'd been 12 years of wanting and not getting anywhere. So I sent for 21 days. And at the end of that 21 days, I had not written anything yet, but I had some notes and journaling, and all of a sudden within 6 months, you know, 6 months later, I performed the play in front of 84 people. And this play that I'd wanted to do for 12 years, suddenly when I applied Reiki, became effortless and easy and just poured out of me, and the writing happened, you know, and it was incredible. And, such, again, another gift in my life that, and to fulfill that dream after 12 years. And Reiki allowed me to connect with that play that was already created and bring it into physical reality.
Wow. So what's the theme of the play? I gotta ask.
It's called The Real, One Woman's Spiritual Journey with Cults, Clones, and Government Conspiracies.
Hmm.
It's about a woman who has kidnapped a baby and gone into hiding. It's set in the future, and she is talking to her friends over the internet to tell them why she's done this. And at the same time, she's having a spiritual awakening as she's going through, waiting for her friends to rescue her.
Wow. Sounds great. Wonderful. Well, at that point, I can go to the next little theme that I had, which was this question, what is true communication? One of the things that I learned when I was a child was that I had to speak to be noticed or to be understood or to be real, actually. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with Reiki, what has happened for me is that I realize that words often cover up the true communication that's happening.
Uh-huh.
And it sounds like your dad and you were able to go to that place and build on whatever you had and make that more substantial for the two of you.
Absolutely. It was, no words needed to be spoken at all in the last, you know, the last 2 years of his life. We talked very little, and yet so there was just love and so much communication in this, in our time together. Your comment also reminds me of, when I first joined the board for the Reiki gathering, I came in with many years of event planning experience. So coming onto the board for this big event, I thought, okay, I've got all these ideas and I know this, I do events. And I get into the first board meeting and the first thing we do is send Reiki. And it was such a, oh, of course, I don't know why I didn't think of this before, but to realize that all these great ideas I had come in with were not nearly as great as the ideas that Reiki shared when we all sat and, and allowed Reiki to speak and be present and communicate. And so absolutely. And with my play, with my father, on the board and in my life now, I have learned a great deal about, the power of communicating in silence. Is that in Reiki?
Yeah. Communicating in silence. I mean, it sounds like an oxymoron, but it's actually not. It's wonderful.
Right. And then the words, when words do emerge, they're the perfect words, you know, the right words for that moment, you know, it's
right.
Not forced or, yeah.
Yeah. So this brings me to the next one, of course, which is that I always had this strange wondering about death, like what was that really about? And the first person that was really close to me who died was a young woman who was 16, and I was 16, almost 16 at the time. So she was my classmate. We were in a car accident together, and she died instantly. And yet, for about 6 months or so, I had dreams of her. Mm-hmm. And I was always kind of lazy and procrastinating at school and high school. And yet, the evening before all of my, you know, big tests, I would be freaking out going, why didn't I study? And, oh, God, I'm going to flunk this test and my parents are going to be really upset and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I would go to sleep and Mary would come to me in my dream and go, Phyllis, you got to change your ways, hon. it was very interesting, but it sounds like that in your experience with your dad and Reiki, that there was, I don't know where you started from in your childhood, but did you have a change or maybe it just brought more understanding of what this passage that we call death is really about?
It definitely brought a deeper awareness. My family, I was sort of raised Catholic with a very mystical bent to our Catholicism growing up. There were very open to mystical experience, although there was the sense of that really this only the saints and those you know other people had those experiences, but it was allowed that sometimes people could have mystical, you know, your sort of like everyday person could have a mystical experience. I do remember that my mother, when I was a child, would always say, I can do more good with you after I die than I can here. She would tell me that from the time I was little.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. And I was 25 when she died, and literally remember getting off the phone with my dad. He told me she had passed. It was unexpected. And saying, and literally hanging up the phone saying, okay, I'm calling it in, Mom. You know, here we go. And it was actually about 6 months before I could connect with her and feel her. And it was a very dark time to have that. It really was probably the darkest time in my life, that 6 months, because I, for the first time in my life, felt completely cut off from any sense of spirit. And then had a dream of her and began to hear songs on the radio that to me were very clear, just things she, you know, the one was the Rolling Stones, You Can't Always Get What You Want. I would hear that song everywhere. And it was such a perfect song. And it was so my mom to say that, you know. So it's still to this day, if I'm ever sort of in a petulant poor me mode, I will hear that song no matter where I'm at. It will be elevator music. I will hear, you know, the Rolling Stones. You
can't. That's great.
So it was definitely, there was this sense of something after you die that there is something, but the journey here was suffering, you know, that was very much a part of my upbringing, that the physical life was suffering, that you hope after you pass there might be something better, yet there was this sense that life was painful and that was unavoidable. And so that was something that really shifted with my father. So I went through the experience of my mother dying very suddenly and then having a real spiritual faith crisis. So it was such a different experience 10 years later when my father passed, and to have joy in my life in general, and then also joy in so clearly feeling that this was a transition. It wasn't an end. You know, it was, and going to something, I really had the sense of him going home. You know, it wasn't, where he was going was where we're all meant to be. You know, that was real, was love, was light, and didn't feel cut off from me when I was in those last moments with him.
Right.
It felt, you know, I'm not there yet, or I am there and not aware of it, you know, but there was this sense of that is the truth, you know, and that, that light and that love and that peace, was just so powerful. And it was challenging with my family because here I'm in this literal state of bliss and my family, the rest of my family who were there were grieving. And it was such an interesting, I was in joy, you know, and to see other people experiencing death, and, you know, as in this painful way. And the grief, as I said, did come in for me and that sense of I'm not going to see him in the way I'm accustomed to in a physical form. Yet my father's been present for me ever since, and I still, you know, feel his presence, and I don't feel like he's lost at all.
Right. Great. Wonderful. I guess this begs the question, do you send him Reiki still?
You know, it's interesting. I don't feel he needs it, but I've sent to just sort of connect with him. I just have this feeling. So I do send and connect with him.
Uh-huh.
But I always get this feeling like, you know, he doesn't need it. I've asked him for Reiki and I felt that, you know. Wherever he's at, he's fine, you know.
That's great.
So Reiki has been a way of absolutely connecting with him and being present with him. And I definitely have said, hey, Dad, I need some Reiki. And I will, and when I do that, especially at night, I'll have dreams of him and I'll be very aware of him and or wake up and just feel Reiki flooding through my body. So it's still very much part of our connection.
Oh, wonderful. Well, those were the things that came to mind as I was listening to your story. Great story. Mm. And I'm just wondering, when I asked you to send Reiki or sit quietly or whatever you did to get in touch with the theme, I'm wondering what came up for you. What has Reiki taught you that's been a big theme in your life?
You know, the big thing that came up when I was sitting with this is that Reiki's taught me that I'm never alone and that I always have something valuable to contribute to any situation. And that has been such a gift, particularly when I think of my father. He would be in ICU. There were times he was in and out of the hospital for several years, and I would be in the ICU waiting room because they only let the family in for a few hours every day. And I could still be with him. And I would see other people in the waiting room with such anxiety and you know, frantically waiting for the time when they would let the family back into the rooms. And I felt connected to him wherever I was, even if I wasn't in the room. And I felt that I had something to add if he was in surgery or if he was not present. I remember being in the waiting room, and there was a woman who had, this was around the time of Hurricane Katrina, and she and her husband had left New Orleans. Their house was destroyed, and they ended up in Tennessee, which is where I was. And her husband had a heart attack and was in the ICU. And I must have been talking to my aunt or one of my family members and about, oh, I think my aunt asked, are you sending your dad Reiki? And I said, yes. And I hear this woman say, Reiki, do you do Reiki? Can I have some Reiki, please? And so we ended up meeting this family. So I started in the time when we weren't allowed in the ICU, I'd be in the waiting room giving her Reiki. And, you know, it was, I mean, for me, such a gift to feel that, like I said, in any situation, I have something to contribute. With my play, when I didn't know where to go, I could send Reiki, you know, I'm planning the gathering. If, you know, we have a question, we can send Reiki. There's always, I have something to contribute and something to offer and a place to go to get clarity in any situation. And that really has been, the biggest lesson that Reiki has taught me. And, I am so grateful every single day for that.
Mm-hmm. So when you go someplace to gain clarity and you send Reiki, what does that really mean for you? Does that mean that the clarity is inside of you and so Reiki has kind of led you to your core, or does that mean that Reiki has brought in kind of messages, or what does that mean?
For me, I sort of feel that there's a divine place of knowing that we're all connected to. And when I can be still in Reiki and quiet, that information that is for the highest and best of the situation is accessible to me. So that is to me, it's funny, I've never thought of this, but as you're asking this question, I'm thinking about that is what it feels like to me, that there is a place that, that I'm connected to, that we're all connected to, that is part of all of us, where there is that awareness and that knowing. And, in those moments of stillness, I can, and in Reiki, bring that information and that knowing in to this physical body in this physical world.
So does that mean that the clarity is outside of yourself and you bring it in? Or I didn't quite...
I feel that I am part of that. We are all part of sort of the collective consciousness, you know, the higher mind, the collective higher mind. So I am part of that collective higher consciousness. So in that sense, it is within me. The knowing is within me. Uh-huh. Yet I think of, you know, when I think of it, I tend to think of it, I think of it as going and retrieving, although really it is, I am part of that. I'm part of the place that I see myself going to, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to my higher self and saying, okay, help me.
You know? I have another question. So when you say your higher self, what does that mean for you?
The part of me that is Reiki, that is universal light energy, that is the divine, that is one with everything. The part of me, the truth of me, that is the God consciousness piece of me. Versus I like the term monkey mind, the ego, the part that forgets that this physical, or tends to believe that this physical body is all there is, and believes that the illusion of that.
Well, you know, it's been very interesting for me, because when I first started to hear about the higher self or for the highest and best good and so on, I just thought, well, like, what does that really mean? And does that mean I'm in my lower self? And is that good or bad? And so, you know, it just kind of, I went through a lot of years trying to figure this out. And I really appreciate what you said about the higher self being this part of you that's the divine, and that we're all divine, and so we all make up this divinity of consciousness or energy or universal life energy or Reiki or however you name it. Do you think it's the same?
Yes. I think for me, there is this collective divine consciousness. And Reiki is a frequency of energy that comes from that source to allow us to connect and remember that true truth. I think of when we're in our physical bodies, it's almost like we have blindfolds on, you know, and we can't see. And so Reiki helps us lift the blindfold a little bit to see the truth. And it is... part of it, it is a piece of that and all of that consciousness.
I really like your themes. I am never alone. I have something valuable to contribute, which feels really good. And then this place, a place to gain clarity. So a place to balance ourselves. The way that I like to describe it for myself is that there's the relative world, which is the kind of physical world and the world where we need to be able to relate one thing to another in order to make choices and in order to see if our choice is a beneficial one or not a beneficial one, and would we make that choice again, and so on. And then there's the absolute universe or universe, absolute world, where everything is just so. It's all one. And it's interesting for me how we in Reiki have the ability to choose to move from one of these states of being to another so easily.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that to be true?
Yes, absolutely. And it's Reiki is as we are all part of the divine, and then sort of in this, in our individual bodies, so we can communicate. Reiki is within each one of us, and also that much bigger field. And it absolutely, in Reiki, I've found such a deeper connection to source, to that higher consciousness. I did meditation for many years, and it was always challenging prior mm-hmm. to Reiki. As soon as I found Reiki, I could go into meditation so easily, and it was such a different experience, because Reiki holds that connection and that remembering, that knowing for me.
Uh-huh. Say more about that, because I used to try to find a meditation teacher, and finally somebody just said, well, you already have one. But I definitely didn't recognize it until somebody pointed it out. And then I disbelieved it for many years until finally I thought, well, you know, you should just surrender, because mm-hmm. it's obvious. But I've never really formally meditated. And I'm just wondering if you can talk a little bit about that.
The style that I learned was the Vipassana Tibetan mm-hmm. Buddhist meditation. And it is, the practice is you empty your mind, and then as thoughts come in, you don't label them good or bad, and you just acknowledge them as thinking. And I love, sometimes I've heard that described as an image of a bubble, and you're like a soap bubble, and you gently pop the bubble and allow the thought to dissolve. And I remember days where I just felt like it was thinking that would be my entire meditation,
right.
You know?
Right.
And that was practice, that was okay, you know, and I would sit, yet it was never rarely an easy practice. And I just remember the first time I did my self-treatment in Reiki, and all of a sudden my mind just quieted down, and I wasn't even consciously meditating, but I realized that my mind went into the state that when I could get into a meditative state for a period of time where I felt my mind calm, my mind went into that, you know, it would take hours of meditation for a brief period of that stillness, which there was value in that meditative practice too, absolutely, and in observing my thoughts and doing that practice. But I was just fascinated that with Reiki, my mind calmed so quickly and would just stay calm. And I would suddenly have solutions to problems or anxieties would disappear. And using the precepts, just for today, do not worry, became such a powerful tool. Just for today, do not anger. That I, you know, it became very powerful. And my self-treatment really became my meditation. And sometimes we'll still do the traditional Buddhist meditation, but it's Reiki to me is such a powerful gift for seeing my mind and relating to my mind. And you said something earlier about, you know, when I'm when your, I say monkey mind kind of comes in and I'll recognize what's going on. And Reiki helps me really see when I'm speaking clear through Reiki and allowing that to come through, and when my, patterns, when my monkey mind is coming in. Reiki, it just is such a beautiful, gentle, tool for that, and such a gift for that for me.
But when you say monkey mind, does that mean that it's, is that a kind of slightly derogatory term?
I don't think so. I mean, I can see how, to me, there's, I have kind of a loving, sometimes I think of it as, a toddler, you know, or, you know, it's because it's, there is, there's, it's a, there's the part of my mind that again is very protective and attached to roles and attached to this physical form, and sometimes I like the term monkey mind because sometimes I do feel like there's a monkey running amok in my head, and I can just calm it down. Fighting with the monkey doesn't work, but if I gently acknowledge its presence and allow it to hear it and acknowledge it, and then put my hands on myself, and usually we'll get that connection again. Like I said, Reiki, one of the things Reiki taught me is that I'm never alone, and it helps me connect to that larger place where we are all one. And so my own needs become everyone else's needs, and everyone else's needs become my needs. And so whatever the situation is and whatever struggle or tension I'm having that is reflected in my mind, I can ease on it. I feel it untangle a little bit and relax a little bit so I can get to a place of clarity and peace.
Well, I think one of the things that we all seek is a kind of peace within us, and I'm wondering if that has come to you through Reiki, or if Reiki teaches you how to arrive at that place, what we might call peace.
I think it's both. I certainly feel I have more peace and incredible joy in my life now than ever before in my life, and days when I don't feel peaceful, I always have Reiki to turn to. I had, through my whole life, because of in part because I was in such physical pain for so many years, I had a lot of depression. And that has lifted as well, along with the physical pain. And it's just, beautiful to me that I enjoy life. I love my life. I wake up in joy, and there is a relative ease and peace to my day and my life. And like I said, when that's not there, I always have Reiki, and that knowing gives me peace. That knowing that if there's another bump in the road, when there's another bump in the road, I always have something to do. I can always put my hands on myself, start with me, send Reiki to the situation, send Reiki to whomever needs it, you know, or is, might benefit. And that gives me peace, that knowing.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I have one more question for you, and this kind of goes back to the beginning. And it seems like that your first contact with Reiki, and all through your experiences of Reiki, that you've experienced some really profound healing, we might say, and maybe even a little bit of curing. And so I'm wondering what happens when other people, for instance, who have had either children with muscular dystrophy or have muscular dystrophy themselves or other physical ailments, and they treat themselves with Reiki, but they don't have the same result. How does that work for you, and what happens inside of you? Like, how do you respond to people who ask you questions about, well, why isn't it working?
Right. And it, to me, there are so many reasons for, I firmly believe that there are people who choose to come into bodies that have physical challenges for a reason, and the reason might not even be their own path. They might have come in to help someone else. And if they're holding that disease, that illness, that energy for another person, that might be a pact they've made. And I also believe that miracles are possible, and I'm open to whatever form those take. So sometimes I've heard people say they've been sending and they'll say, well, nothing's happened. Well, I mean, I got a new job and I left that partner that I wasn't happy with, and then I won the lottery, but nothing really happened. So sometimes I've had to do this with myself too. I've certainly am very blessed and grateful to have had big physical healings that are quite large scale and hard to, really, like you said, curings. And I'm open to what's a little bit of relief look like? What is a little bit of the next step? What is, how can I move forward even given the body I have now, even given what it is today? What can I do? Even if I never feel any better than I do right now, what can I do to bring more peace and joy into my life? And I find so often that just doing that, then I'll get a shift. Then I'll get, something comes in. So, and I do have students who have multiple sclerosis and other things, and so some have had physical healing, and some are still waiting, but they're open and they're willing and they're self-treating every day. And that is so beautiful to just be willing to walk the path and know that Reiki's working, whatever it's doing, it's healing, it's moving, it's momentum towards peace.
Wonderful. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you.
We'll be back again next week. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.